And now it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by technical editor Kara Pace and educator Lori Fisher on KALW San Francisco Bay Area. All right, now it's time for our moderator, Mr. Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damian, and welcome everybody to a lovely Saturday morning. And we do hope you can give us an hour of your very valuable time today, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we are looking for is your participation. First of all, now is a great time to call in. So if you would like to get in contact with us with a question, hoping possibly an answer as well. And, of course, anything else you would like to talk about, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. As I said before, this is a good time to call. We don't like to lose your call at the end of the show, but if you call now, we will get you on. So please keep that in mind, because we want to hear from you. Of course, if you've been listening to the last few minutes, then you know that we are doing a new member drive, and we would love you to become a new member if you are so inclined. KALW deserves fine new members, and I think you out there could be one of them, or at least two of them. And the number to call is 1-800-525-9917. So it's just something to think about over the course of the hour. You will hear more about that momentarily. Anyway, again, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, I also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And you can email us during the show if you don't want to call in, or you it's too crowded. Feel free to email us, and the number, it will pop up in front of me here, and then we can mention that on the show. If you'd like to hear us in live stream, that is, of course, kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast, that should be up in a reasonable amount of time, also at kalw.org and many other places. But if you start with KALW, I'm sure that would be appreciated. All right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions, which I know what you are waiting for. By the way, I had an email from somebody who I will not mention their names the other day, who said that we were the best show on radio anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, he really said that.
Let's mention them by name.
Yeah, wow. Right.
I should preface that. Well, he's a longtime caller, and you would know. His name is Sacramento Slim.
Oh.
And that was very kind of him to say. But of course, the preface to that was he was complaining about one of our callers who will be unnamed, because that would not be nice. And won't I do something about that caller? Of course, I will not mention this caller, and but you know, everybody has their favorite callers and not favorite callers. So
yes.
Anyway,
good advice from Sacramento Slim.
It was the last line that it was the nicest one.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to that. Okay, so we will start with the round of introductions, and here's the first. And Kira Pace wishes Lashana Tova, I hope I pronounced that, or Aishana Tova, to all those who celebrate, particularly to those who left their radio on.
Sorry.
Like Sacramento Slim.
Yes.
Lori Fisher's body is in his home in Berkeley, but his heart is with the auto workers wherever they might be.
And they're all over. And perhaps you've heard of the famous people who need no introduction? Well, that group does not include our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
All right, that is us. And we'll begin the questioning with bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Kira Pace.
Yes.
All right. It's party season, so I'm going to give you the name of a person who threw a house party, and I want you to tell me the movie in which they threw it. So get ready to write. I have a list of names. I'll go through the names, and then once we go through the list, I'll even add some years to make it a little easier. So name number one is Mae Coleman, M-A-E Coleman.
First of all, just can we, are we assuming these are all movies, or could it be movies?
These are all movies, all movies.
Okay, all right.
And I'm even giving them to you in chronological order.
And these are characters' names, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
So obviously Mae Coleman would be the one that I would be most interested in, if they're all chronological. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Karen.
Mae Coleman is number one. Number two, Donna Foster. Number three, David Larrabee, L-A-R-R-A-B-E-E, I think. Number four is Harry Lanier, L-A-N-N-I-E-R. I believe it is with the British pronunciation and not the French. Harry Lanier. Number five, Joel Goodson. Number six, Jake Ryan. Number seven is Wyatt Donnelly, D-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y. Number eight is Thornton Mellon. Number nine is Peter Martin. And number 10 is Katie Heron. And that's C-A-D-Y, Heron, like the bird. So Mae Coleman, Donna Foster, David Larrabee, Harry Lanier, Joel Goodson, Jake Ryan, Wyatt Donnelly, Thornton Mellon, Peter Martin, and Katie Heron.
All right. Laura, you go first. That's fine.
I think I know one and don't know nine, and I may not know the one. I think that Joel Goodson might be Tom Cruise in Risky Business.
Tom Cruise in Risky Business is correct. Nice job.
All right.
Dana, that was 1983.
Dana, run the table.
Well, I can't run the table, but I think I know two here. Mae Coleman. And I'm sure this is what attracted Kira to this particular mention. Mae Coleman is the evil presence behind Reefer Madness, I believe. She gives the house party where she tempts all the young people with reefer.
That is correct. Mae Coleman has a house party in Reefer Madness.
Excellent.
Yes.
1936, and, Reefer Madness.
Right. And David Larrabee is, I always forget that I get the two Larrabee brothers mixed up, but I think David Larrabee is William Holden in Sabrina.
Yes, he's the one who's throwing the party. So okay. You are correct. Right. 1954's Sabrina.
All right. That's, and I'll stop right there.
All right. So the ones we have left, and I'll go ahead and add the years now. We have 1950, Donna Foster. 1969, Harry Lanier. My apologies if it's actually Harry Lanier. 1984, Jake Ryan. 1985, Wyatt Donnelly. 1986, Thornton Mellon. 1990, Peter Martin. And 2003, Katie Heron.
All right. Okay.
No house parties in the last 20 years, huh?
No.
Amazing.
No, I just stopped after 2003. Is mostly.
Laura, you go ahead, please.
All right. Well, in my introduction, I mentioned the United Auto Workers strike. So this question is about unions. The United Auto Workers has about 990,000 members. There are five unions in America that have more people than that. They all have over a million. So I'm looking for the five biggest unions in the United States, all over a million, some quite a bit more. You can either get them exactly or what they do.
What about fruit?
The fruit unions, what? Say more.
The Dolores Huerta.
I mean, the pickers,
the equivalent of whatever would be the farm workers union. No.
Farm workers.
Okay. They aren't that big. Okay. They aren't that unionized either.
That's what I wasn't sure about. I knew that they had a ton of employees, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, they're not in the top 10.
Okay.
How about the hotel and service workers union?
Good. Yes, the service worker union is second with 1.9 million. Very good.
What about teachers?
Yeah, Teachers is number one. The National Education Association, which is the biggest teachers union, has just over 3 million people. Very good.
Well, we can leave the rest out.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the five biggest unions that are all bigger, or in some cases a lot bigger than the United Auto Workers. And we have the National Education Association, which has 3 million, and the Service the Service Employees Union, that was second. We're looking for three more.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. So two questions for you. Well, actually, let's take a call, and then we'll go to a question.
Okay.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning from Napa, Tom and Debbie, and Hi. We will be donating. Very important.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you. Thank you.
So last week I asked, and you got instantly, what percentage of the planet is covered with water? And it's about 70%. Of that, what percent is salt water and what percent is fresh water?
I'll guess high. I'm going to guess 70% salt water.
Surprisingly, a lot higher.
Ooh. Go ahead, team.
Well, it doesn't seem that high, but because there's a lot of fresh water in places like Canada and Russia, I think. So I don't know. Perhaps 85?
Keep going.
Oh.
92.
So 97%. Hmm. 3% fresh, and of that 3% fresh, only 1.2% is potable.
Oh.
So we need to take care of our water, obviously. And Alfred Nobel, the founder of the Peace Prize, he's mm-hmm. also known, very famous inventor. What did Alfred Nobel invent?
I know
dynamite.
Dynamite, right.
That is correct. Another easy one. All righty. Well, good luck with the pledge driving and love the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. You'll hear more about our drive to attract some new members momentarily, but if you're interested in that, the number is 1-800-525-9917. Let me give you a couple of questions before we race off into that. Since 1935, the New York Times bestseller list has been an active part of publishing. What is the nonfiction book that has been on the New York Times bestseller list the longest since 1935?
You mean the most consecutive weeks or just total?
The most consecutive weeks, over 500.
Oh, is it? I want to say How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Well, that's a very logical guess, but no.
Is it in that realm of kind of self-help, be a better person kind of thing?
In a vague way. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So since 1935, what nonfiction book remained on the longest on the New York Times bestseller list, over 500 weeks? Remember, it is a nonfiction book.
And it was published in 1935?
No. I'm just saying that the New York Times bestseller list started in 1935.
Oh, okay.
The book is relatively, I think it's about 20, 25 years old, maybe, something like that, roughly. Huh.
But was on for almost 10 years. Yeah, okay.
What about Chicken Soup for the Soul?
No, not that.
But are we in the right realm of, you know, Seven Habits of Effective People?
That's in a general way, yes, you are. Okay. Yeah. All right, think that over. And I'll give you a quick other question, and then we'll move on. What I'm going to do is I have six third-party candidates since the 1970s, and I want you to tell me the third party that they ran with. So this is for president. These are third-party candidates for president since the 1970s. Tell me what the third party was that they ran with. Number one, Benjamin Spock, 1972. Number two, Barry Commoner, 1980. I almost voted for him. Number three, Lenora Fulani, 1988. Number four, Bo Greitz, 1992. Number five, Chuck Baldwin, 2008. And number six, Howie Hawkins, 2020. So again, these are third-party candidates that have run since the 1970s. Just tell me the third party that they represented. They ran for president, obviously. Number one, Benjamin Spock, 1972. Number two, Barry Commoner, 1980. Number three, Lenora Fulani, 1988. Number four, Bo Greitz, 1992. Number five, Chuck Baldwin, 2008. Number six, Howie Hawkins, 2020. All right, I'll give you each at least one guess.
Are they all in kind of well-established parties as opposed to kind of made-up frivolous one? Like one that frequently...
None of them are frivolous parties, but I think one or two of them have disappeared.
Barry Commoner is the name I know. Do you know that one, Kara? Do you remember him?
Nope. I will be no help on this question.
Oh, Kara just votes the straight ticket. So.
I don't know.
All right.
Four of them, I've never heard of. Bo Greitz and Barry Commoner, I've heard of, but
well,
I don't
know. Well, Bo Greitz was, I think he was a Vietnam. Like an American officer in the Vietnam War. That and then right. He was a hero there and went into politics later. Okay. But anyway, okay, leave that out. And just to remind you, the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. As I mentioned earlier, we are doing a drive for new members. So we want to know how much you support our lovely station out there. And to give you the lowdown on that, I'll hand it over to Damien.
And I'll hand it over to Niche and John Carroll as we're inside Minds Over Matter here on KALW San Francisco.
Yeah, and you can call 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go online at kalw.org and click donate.
Yep. And it's just as easy as clicking a button and choosing maybe your monthly gift if you want one. There are so many reasons to donate today. Do you like the news? Do you like music? Do you like learning new things like we are right now exactly. in Minds Over Matter?
All of those things are an important part of the ethos here at KLW. We have so many different programs that we can offer in terms of uniqueness that you won't hear anywhere else, mm-hmm. much like Minds Over Matter. And if you value that, please make a gift right now because it's member support that makes all of that possible. We are 65% of our budget comes from members just like you. So when you make that gift of support, you're allowing us to remain independent and allow us to thrive and to continue to present programming that is, you know, here and part of the Bay Area and its own special fun, quirky personality that we love here within the Bay Area, and we want to celebrate those things. So call us right now, 1-800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org and click donate. And before we toss back to Damien, Lori, I'm going to suggest maybe SAG-AFTRA is one of those unions.
Great guess, but they don't have more than the United Auto Workers.
Oh, mm-hmm. Darn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good guess.
They should be, but they aren't. There just aren't enough.
What about the Teamsters?
The Teamsters are on the list. Very nice. They have 1.4 million. Give her a bell.
And that is why Niche is in the news department and I am not. So there you go. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Good work.
All right. Just to remind you of our show today, our panel, that would be Kara Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us, no surprise here, on KALW, your local public radio station. And let's see, we had an email from CM who said, indeed, the Teamsters suggested that, so good for you. And for Kira, Chris was wondering whether Thornton Mellon was Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School.
Chris, you are correct. You are so correct.
There we go. And let's see.
Oingo Boingo was at his house party.
Oh, yes. And Mithras is wondering if whether Benjamin Spock represented the Peace and Freedom Party. And it's not the Peace and Freedom Party, although he might have run previous to 1972 under the Peace and Freedom Party, but this particular party was not. So leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, Dana, it's Daryl.
Hi, Daryl.
I have a question for you. What is the most common first name of a First Lady of the United States? There are four of them. And these would be their birth names.
Were they known by these names as well?
Or that's what I'm saying. A couple of them, maybe not so much, but they were their birth names.
Is it Barbara?
Not Barbara.
Or it's...
Is it Lady Bird?
No.
Okay.
Actually, that's Lady Bird brings up an interesting point. So would Mrs. Johnson's real first name be one of those names?
No.
Okay. Then obviously I'll start with Mary.
No.
Okay. And let's see. I think there was more than one Abigail. Perhaps not four.
I'll give you a hint. Right. Two from the 19th century and two from the 20th century.
Well, I don't think Eleanor is one.
Nope.
Or Grace.
No.
Dana, how many Alices were there?
I don't think there were any Alices.
Okay.
As
many more ladybirds than Alices.
Yeah. No, I'm not getting this, Daryl.
Okay. So the answer is Elizabeth. Ooh. Bess Truman. Yeah. Betty Ford. Mrs. James Monroe, that's Elizabeth Monroe, and Mrs. Tyler, Elizabeth Priscilla Tyler.
All right. Okay. Good question.
All right. See you next week.
Thank you. And right, since Daryl reminded me quietly, our big trivia tournament is set for next Saturday at 12:30 at the Grand Oaks Restaurant in Oakland. So if you are interested, you can contact me and I will pass along to Daryl. I think we still have room for some individual players. So I will be doing the moderating for the afternoon and I think you would enjoy it. So if you're interested, get in touch, email, and I'll move it along. All right. Well, thank you for that. And let's see. Let's go to, just to remind you again, there are two numbers for questions or answers. To give a call to the show, that's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Kira, it's your turn.
All right. Condoleezza Rice, Juliana Rancic, and Ryan Phillippe are all former students of what school?
Ryan Phillippe. Condoleezza Rice and Ryan Phillippe.
Did they attend it or possibly teach there? Or is there a trick?
They all attended the school, Condoleezza Rice.
Is it pre-high school? I mean, pre-college? Or is it university?
I am not going to answer that. In part because I can't answer that.
You can't.
All right. I'm sorry, but are we talking about college?
We're
talking about a school. Condoleezza Rice. Juliana Rancic and Ryan Phillippe are all former students of it. That is all the information you're going to get from me.
Okay. Is it kind of a performing arts kind of deal? Because Condoleezza Rice is
Condoleezza Rice, pianist. Juliana Rancic.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, she
she's taking a tough line.
She's a pianist, you know.
She is. That's what I'm saying. Is. Yeah. So maybe it's a performing arts, but Ryan Phillippe, who's the middle person, Dana? I don't know her.
I don't know where I'm.
Julianne Arancic. She does hosting. She does like red carpet stuff. She was on a show with Joan Rivers, Fashion Police. Okay, I think she mostly works for E! Entertainment.
I'm going to go with Juilliard.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
As far as I know, that is incorrect.
Okay.
Well, okay. Ryan Phillippe throws me off because he went to a modeling school, I think, for a while. He went to what was that school in Delaware? The Barbizon School. But somehow I don't think Condoleezza Rice went to the Barbizon School.
Here's not telling.
Yeah. And she's not saying whether it's college or.
Well, that would indicate it's more Barbizon than Stanford. I would, you know.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where to go.
School of Hard Knocks. How about
it's not NYU. It's not NYU, is it?
It's not NYU.
Okay. All right. Leave it out. All right. Ask it again, if you would, please.
Sure. Condoleezza Rice, Julianne Arancic, and Ryan Phillippe are all former students of what school?
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I'm going to guess Barbizon since that wasn't actually a guess there.
Ooh.
Hmm. The correct answer, as it turns out, is Barbizon, which is, by the way, where Condoleezza Rice learned to walk gracefully and do her makeup.
Oh, my God.
Autobiography.
Good teamwork. Yeah.
Well, thank you for giving me that. This is Rita in San Francisco. And I wasn't going to ask this question, but since the thing about Alfred Nobel came up earlier, where was the first dynamite factory in the United States? Ooh. What city?
Well, was it, didn't the DuPonts, weren't the DuPonts the ones that first manufactured dynamite? I'll just say Wilmington, Delaware.
You're very far away.
Oh, am I? Okay.
I thought you got it.
Very far away. So
we're looking like
you're. Excuse me.
Pacific
you're
Coast?
Very far away in the answer you just gave.
Was it? Did it have something to do with the building of the railroads, and therefore was out west? Although that wouldn't necessarily make sense.
You're way closer.
All right. So, yes, out west then. So, are we talking about a local place? So say for instance, or someplace close to San Francisco?
You sure are.
How about San Francisco?
It is Glen Canyon in the middle of San Francisco.
Oh, interesting.
Dynamite factory in the United States. It exploded within a year and was not rebuilt.
Wow. Is that where Glen Park is now?
It sure is.
Is it the canyon?
Yes, the Glen Valley, I was
going to
say.
Glen Canyon, which is Glen Canyon Park, that was the site. And it was a couple years ago, I think, that the local Glen Park History Association had a plaque put up commemorating that event.
That's fantastic. I've not been to Glen Park for a little while, so now I have to go back and look at their plaque.
Look at the canyon. Yeah.
Can I ask the question I was actually calling in to ask?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. There are five states in the U.S. that do not offer state lotteries. What are they?
Kira, you seem the logical person to start with this.
No, because I'm a lottery player. Okay. We've had this question before, and I committed none of it to memory, which is unfortunate. There's somewhere in New England. It's somewhere in the West Coast. What about Montana or Idaho?
No.
Okay.
I think Kira's right about the West, though. I think Alaska's one of them.
That's correct.
Nice.
I'm going to go with our go-to state on these kinds of questions. Utah.
Utah. Nice job.
Yes. Yeah. And I would say Nevada, too, because they don't want anything to get in the way of their gambling money.
You are correct about that. So there are two left.
Right. Is one of them a New England state?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well,
did we stay out west?
For one of them.
How about Hawaii?
Yeah, I think that's a good guess.
Yes.
All right. And I think one of them's in the south, but I'm not really sure which one it is.
South Carolina.
No.
Because they had something in that they had a proposal for lottery in the state and it was voted down. I'm just trying to remember which one it is. It's one of the real Bible Belt states, I'm sure. Like Mississippi or Alabama?
It is indeed Alabama.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Nice good job.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And I love show. And I do donate to KALW.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate all your help. Take care. All right. Let's see. Chris is wondering on the unions if the nurses union is one. Jory?
You know, I think the answer is yes. And I think the nurses are generally in the Service Employees International, the one we mentioned before. So give them a bell for that. It's a broad union. They have lots of pieces. And healthcare workers are listed there. So, yes. Good work.
Okay. All right. And in the meantime, here are the two numbers to call. Area code 415-841-4134. By all means, we'd love to hear from you. And toll free 866-798-8255. And Laura, you go ahead, please.
All right. My son, who's coming to town today, sent me this question that I think is good. It's about children's literature in the Marjorie Meanwell is the hero and protagonist of a book that some consider to be the first children's literature book written in 1756 and published by John Newbery, Newbery Award winner. She was terrific, taught children to read, stood up for animal rights, survived an accusation of witchcraft. But she's known primarily for two things. One is her name in the title of this book, and the other is something she did to in the classroom to get her students to be better students. So what was the title of the book? And that's the name that Marjorie Meanwell is known by. And what thing did she do to motivate her students? Did she invent? Both well known.
So was this a series of books or just one book?
I think it was a series, given all that Marjorie accomplished. And I think they all probably had this famous name of the title. I'm not positive of that.
Huh. Okay. And are these books still around today?
You'd find them in the library. You'd find them in the old book section. I don't think they might be still in print as kind of a collector's item, but they're long in the history of, they're in print in the way that Dickens books would be in print and all that. So yes, I think so.
So you think the most memorable thing about these books is the name of the books or the name of the character in the books?
She's named in the title, and that's memorable because it's an expression we still use today. And the thing that she did to motivate her students is still used in a way, kind of as a euphemism and is a way to get kids to be better students.
Okay. I don't know. Kira?
I didn't
either. Any ideas? No? All right.
Yeah. You'll know that when you hear the answer, it's kind of a cool answer.
All right. Leave that out. And since we're a little past halfway, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, we'll start with you.
I've given you the names of some people who threw house parties in a variety of movies. You tell me the movie in which they threw it. So the ones we have left are 1950, Donna Foster, 1969, Harry Lanier, 1984, Jake Ryan, 1985, Wyatt Donnelly, 1990, Peter Martin, and 2003, Katie Herron.
And by definition, a house party is at someone's personal house rather than a fraternity house?
Typically. Although I will mention that Thornton Mellon's was in his dorm room.
So, but this wouldn't be an animal house.
That's correct. Yeah, it's okay. Not an entire frat throwing a party or anything.
All right. Curious that what you have. You have my turn.
Yes.
My question was about the five unions in the United States that have more members than the UAW. And we have the Teachers Union, the National Education Association, the Service Employees, which includes nurses and others. And which other one do we get? And the Teamsters. I mean, I'm looking for two more. And I just asked a question about Marjorie Meanwell, in what is perhaps the first children's book, is known by a much better name that's in the title. And she's known for something that she did to motivate her students, something she sort of invented in a way to get them to be better students. What is that thing?
All right. And I have a few questions. Since 1935, the New York Times has been putting out the bestseller list for publishing, best-selling book currently in the United States, usually the top 10. So what book, since 1935, what book has been on the New York Times bestseller list the longest, 500-plus weeks? It is still very much in print. The book is probably no more than 25 years old, just to keep that in mind. And it's certainly a book that we've all heard of. So what book has been on the New York Times bestseller list the longest? It is a nonfiction book, so you know. And it is a bit of a, you were asking earlier, a bit of an improvement book. And yes, you could sort of push it that way a little bit. More of a philosophy book, really, when you get right down on it. Yes, there's how to be a better person, I suppose.
Is it a child-rearing book or a health book?
It is not. No, okay. It is not so a child-rearing book.
Not our bodies ourselves or anything like that.
No.
Is it by Malcolm Gladwell?
It is not by Malcolm Gladwell. No. But, you know, it's not completely removed from that type of book, just so you know. And I have a list of third-party candidates since 1970. So what I'm asking you is, what party did they run with? These are third-party candidates in presidential elections since 1970. What party did they run with? We have Benjamin Spock, 1972, Barry Commoner, 1980. Lenora Falani, 1988, Beau Greitz, 1992, Chuck Baldwin, 2008, and Howie Hawkins in our last election, 2020. So keep that in mind. And let's see, Lori, I think it's your turn, isn't it?
Oh, I just asked my Marjorie.
Oh, that's right. Question. Sorry about that.
Sure.
Okay, let me give you another one. All right. What and I don't think I've asked this, but Kira's always the best judge of these because I forget sometimes and she doesn't. What is the best-selling book of all time with an apostrophe in the title? What is the best-selling book of all time that has an apostrophe in the title?
Pilgrim's Progress.
Well, that is a very heavily sold book, but it is not the best-selling book.
Is it nonfiction or fiction?
It is fiction.
Alice is in Adventures Through the Looking Glass?
That's also an extremely good guess, but no. This has sold more copies than Alice's Adventure in the Looking Glass.
Portnoy's Complaint?
No.
It's got an apostrophe.
What is the best-selling book of all time written in English? It is fiction that has an apostrophe in the title.
American book?
Written in English.
Yeah.
That was the original language.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. And give us a call, 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Kangs in Oakland. I emailed with you this week, Dana. I'm looking forward to trivia.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I agree with Sacramento Slim. It's the best thing on the radio.
Yay.
Thank you.
And Damien has a music show on another station. That's the second best. It's really great.
Oh, see, there you go.
I thought they were tied. Yeah,
they're tied. They're pretty close. So, all right, the list of house parties. This is my wheelhouse. I have watched lots of movies with house parties.
And I wrote this question just for you.
But I'm only sure about one. Jake Ryan is 16 Candles.
Yes, that's bell number one.
Okay. And then what do we have, 1985?
Mm-hmm. Wyatt Donnelly.
Wyatt Donnelly. So this is all going to be, is it okay if I make a few guesses? Because I think this is too late for bachelor party, and that's in a motel or a hotel. And it's, I don't know if that would be considered a house party, right? But not bachelor party.
I dismissed it for that.
Okay, cool. It's not. Is it Secret Admirer?
It is not.
Too obscure. Some Kind of Wonderful. Is there even a party in that movie?
I don't recall. There's a house party, actually. No, that's saying anything. Don't mind me. I don't remember a party being in Some Kind of Wonderful. I would have asked it if there were, because I know that Dana had a super crush on Mary Stuart Masterson.
I had a total super crush on Mary Stuart Masterson. Yeah.
Cool.
I will hint that if you, like, keep it within that director for 1985.
The Some Kind of Wonderful director?
And also the 16 Candles director.
Some Kind of Wonderful. Pretty in Pink. John Hughes.
Right. I'm sorry. That was the writer. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
It's not Pretty in Pink. You're not talking
it's
John
It's not Pretty
Hughes.
In Pink.
There's no party. Okay. I'm going to have to think on that, but I think I have 2003. Is it Can't Hardly Wait?
It's not. That's funny. I wrote one for Can't Hardly Wait and then didn't end up using it. Can't Hardly Wait, I think, is 99.
I also thought that was earlier. It's not the absurd Not Another Teen Movie.
It's not.
Okay. All right. So I might be out on that. I'd have to think. I just made up a book called Victoria's Secret. That's not the one with the apostrophe, right?
It is not the one with the apostrophe. No.
That's having apostrophe. Okay. Close.
I remember Howie Hawkins, and this seems too obvious. He's not Green Party?
Yes, Howie Hawkins is indeed the Green Party. Very good. Good job.
Wow. I think this is my first time getting two bells in. and what was the question about the most popular, or was it the most sold or the most popular book?
For the New York Times bestseller list, that was the book that was longest on the New York Times bestseller list.
Okay, is it Dianetics?
It is not. That's a pretty good guess too. But no, it's not Dianetics.
Yeah, I've been listening to too many people who've left Scientology's podcast lately, so that's not my one. Okay, and all right, I have a before and after question with a plot that I've made up for this movie. So Gabe Kaplan asks for John Travolta's advice to fix a DeLorean.
So we have Welcome Back, Kotter, and Back to the Future.
Welcome Back, Kotter, to the Future.
No. Yeah, oh, more or less.
Oh, so Welcome Back to the Future?
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
All right, thank you.
All right,
great show.
Look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, me too. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Ever Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show, and we would love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you, we are doing pledging. We would love to have you as a new member if you enjoy this show, and many do, believe it or not. That number is 1-800-525-9917. And let's see here. Michael was wondering about the bestseller with an apostrophe. This is really an excellent guess. He asked about Gulliver's Travels, and that really is a good guess, but it's not Gulliver's Travels. And let's see. Stefan was wondering about the Marjorie Meanwell. Did she write a book with Mrs. Thistlebottom in it? Does that ring a bell, Lori?
No. So Marjorie Eaton Meanwell is the protagonist and hero of this book, who's known by the other name that's in the title. So no, she was not the author. The author's a little bit unknown. Some think it's Oliver Goldsmith, but I couldn't verify that. So she's the protagonist. She is better known by her titular name,
so to speak.
So to speak.
And I think this was answered, right? Kira, the house, Benjamin was wondering if the house party was Jake Ryan and Risky Business. Did that get answered?
Joel Goodson was Risky Business. Jake Ryan was 16 Candles. Both of those got answered.
Right. Sorry. So are we still looking for... Were we still looking for a John Hughes? No, that was the...
The Howard Deutsch was the thing we were talking about. But we are looking for a John Hughes movie. And real quick, is the apostrophe book Charlotte's Web?
Ooh. Oh, fantastic, yes. But no, not Charlotte's Web.
Okay.
All right. And okay, let's see. Where are we now? Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Ben Spock was on the People's Party, appropriate for socialists.
I'm sorry, say that. I missed the first part of that, Fred.
Benjamin Spock.
Spock was part of the People's Party.
Okay, that is correct. Yes, Benjamin Spock was the People's Party in 1972.
For
correct.
And Happy New Year to you. So, Shona. And you're supposed to apologize to people. I have to apologize to Manos for anything I might have said to offend him over the past year.
I can't hear Fred that well. Can you guys?
He's apologizing for possibly offending, but I don't think you offended anybody.
I apologize for being slim.
I see.
Nobody was offended. No, don't worry about that.
No, I'm joking. But what year is it in the Hebrew calendar?
Ooh. I'm still writing 5682 on my checks.
That's an old joke.
But I don't think that's the right answer.
I'll give it to you because that was only 2 years ago. It's now 50.
I'm still writing that. I'm not writing checks anymore.
We can't. You'll have to call back, I'm afraid, because you're not coming in well enough. All right, thank you, Fred. Sorry about that.
Long way to West Virginia.
Yeah. Yes. Are you carving that year into your tablets as well? So, and let's see. Eric is wondering, is Wyatt from Weird Science?
Wyatt is from Weird Science.
There you
go. That is correct. 1985's Wyatt Donnelly.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right. And Bennett is wondering if the book on the New York Times bestseller list is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. That was on for a long time, but no, it's not that. Mm-mm. So give us a quick call. We have a few minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear from you. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. All right. Who has a quick question they want to throw in? I'll let Kira do that if she has a quick question.
55 experimental bronze-colored cars manufactured by Chrysler in the early 1960s were powered using what fairly novel method? So there were actually 55 of them built and road-tested before most of them were destroyed. But 55 experimental bronze-colored car, all of them the same bronze color, manufactured by Chrysler in the early 60s, were powered using what fairly novel method?
So can I ask whether this method had been used previously and after, or one or the other?
In concept cars. I believe this was as far as I could tell, this was the version of that method that made it the farthest in like testing for like actual consumer use.
Oh.
And could they get up to speed? Could they go on the highway and go that fast?
Yeah, they were road legal. They did eventually. That was part of the reason that it did not succeed was its very
slow acceleration in the consumer version, although there were actually race cars built that got well up to speed using this method.
And is this method still around and been better developed today?
It's still not a consumer product, but I believe one of them made it to a James Bond car.
Huh. Oh.
But has that technology been improved? So now we have electric cars, or has it been discarded as a way to get cars to run?
It seems like a lot of people, or that people are not really working on this method, but the fact that it did make it to all the way to I think it was Spectre.
Yeah.
But don't quote me on that. I am not a gearhead. So
anything to do with, jet fuel, something like that?
It is not jet fuel.
How about something to do with magnetism?
Oh, that would be fascinating, but no.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
That was my big idea.
I think the Three Stooges did that one. Yeah. Had a magnet, giant magnet attached to the back of the car.
And this question is inspired by my studio audience who suggested I write a question on it. So
interesting. And so how about hydrogen then? Something hydrogen, maybe?
No, not hydrogen, not biofuel, biodiesel. No.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Okay, here's a wild one. How about solar?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I do too. That is not correct, but
I like it.
I'm interested in that car.
Yeah, the magnetic solar car. Caught on. Yeah.
All right.
Can it hover too? I want it to be a hover car.
Work on that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, is the book Alcoholics Anonymous the big book?
Yeah, that's a really good guess, and that was a huge bestseller, but it's not Alcoholics Anonymous, no.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all.
Thanks. Really good guess.
Thank you for that. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Is the car, the rocket car that Chrysler developed?
It was not a rocket car, no.
Is the 1950 movie with the party in it all about Eve?
It is not. In the interest of time, I will say that it starred, that Joan Leslie was the character who had the house party, and Joan Fontaine was also in this movie.
Oh,
is it the locket?
Okay.
I have one more answer. Is the union the IBEW, the Electricians Union?
No, they're not. And they might be associated with the AFL-CIO, but that's not.
Thanks anyway.
Good guess.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And since you said Joan Leslie and Joan Fontaine, then is this? Let's see. Born to be Bad.
Born to be Bad. Yes, that is correct.
Oh, my God. Bell.
Great title.
You see my nickname. yes. All
Those
right.
Those were the
good
days.
Oh, and just so we forget, before we forget here, Mithras was wondering whether the car was a jet turbine. He says Jay Leno has one.
Yes, it was called the Chrysler Turbine Car, and yes, most of them were destroyed. There are 9 left in the world. 2 are owned by Chrysler, 6 are in museums, and the last one is, as noted, owned by Jay Leno. Oh, nice.
Interesting.
Job.
Okay.
Mithras, nice job. You get a bell.
All right, time to clean up here. We're leaving a couple of minutes early because we want to give John and Damian a chance to talk about the many, many merits of our station. So let's clean up here. And Kira, we'll start with you.
Okay, 1969, Harry Lanier threw a house party in La Piscina or the swimming pool. 1990, Peter Martin, that is Play from Kin Play, and he threw a house party in House Party. And in 2003, Katie Heron, that is Lindsay Lohan, throwing a house party in Mean Girls. And that's all I have.
All right. And Lori. Mm-hmm.
The unions that we didn't get, one was the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, so basically government employees, And the other is United Food and Commercial Workers, which are not farm workers. Those are the people who bag your groceries and do checkout and stock the shelves at places like that, at like Safeway. And then the Marjorie Meanwell, her name in the title was Little Miss Goody Two Shoes. And that was not considered an insult. She only had one shoe, and a benefactor gave her another shoe. And she thought of herself as a Goody Two Shoes because now she had that to escape from poverty. And the thing that she had students do to motivate them, she said, put on your thinking caps. And she actually made a thinking cap, and that supposedly that inspired them to think better. So if
did the thinking cap look different than a dunce cap?
I'll have to look that up, and I'll let you know next week. But so Goody Two Shoes were never meant to be demeaning, and put on your thinking caps, audience, and you'll get all the answers next week.
Okay. Since 1935, the New York Times bestseller list for publishing has been an ongoing thing. The book that has been on for 500 plus weeks is The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. The Road Less Traveled. The best-selling book of all time with an apostrophe was, think about it, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. There you go. Harry Potter's everywhere. And Barry Commoner ran for the Citizens Party in 1980. Lenora Filani, the New Alliance Party in 1988. Beau Greitz, the Populist Party in 1992. And Chuck Baldwin, the Constitution Party in 2008. So my thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And thanks to KLW for having us on the air all these years. We certainly appreciate it. And if you appreciate what we try to bring to you every week and all the other fine programming in KLW, now's the time to show it. I'll turn it over to Damian and John and the best week of all to you out there, and we do hope you will join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.